Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me tonight on the FHK Daily Bread, where the Word of God will change your life. I will never be the same. I know you will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight is Tuesday, February 28th, and just like that, we're through the entire month of February. I can't believe it. I don't know about you, but my February just flew. It started with the ice storm February 1st, and then blink, blink, and here we are the last day of the month. I've had, just FYI, we had quite a bit of damage over at the Weatherly house, and praise God, we've got insurance, so we're going to be okay. And it makes sense because Daryl and I are both insurance people, and nobody ever wants to pay insurance until you need it. And we needed it because we had quite a bit of damage at our house. So tree limbs, we actually lost a huge elm tree, and part of it landed on our power line and took out the neighborhood power pole. The city had to come replace the pole, and part of it crushed our carport. So we have had crews at our house for the last 2 days. I think yesterday we had a crew of 8. Today we had a crew of 10, pretty much here all day long. So we no longer have our tree, no longer have all the debris, and we no longer have our carport. So they dismantled that, took it all away. But of course, you know, there was just damage to the roof and the fences and electrical and gutters and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's all good. We're going to get it taken care of. But that's where my February has been. And it's just gone by very fast. So anyway, just want to welcome you all. We're so glad. Today is a blessed day. Every day is a blessed day. I just love how Pastor Rose says, you know, thank you, Lord, for another day of living in the light of your word. Every day is a blessed day in Jesus. Amen. Well, let's open up in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity that you've given me. Holy Spirit, I ask that you direct my words, that you direct where we are going today, tonight in your word, and just this brief Bible study. Just I pray that it would encourage your children, exhort them and encourage them just in all of their dealings in life, because I know that that's what you want for us. You want to have us to have heaven on earth and to live a blessed life while we're here on earth through your precious son, Jesus. I thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for a spirit of excellence and accuracy in all my words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. Let's start off how we like to start off. If you've got your Bible, hold it up and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I have what it says I have. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's always a good way to start off. And I just enjoy that so much because it is a bold declaration over your life. And we should be speaking the word of God over our life every day. And we should be bold, because we have Holy Spirit lives in us. We are actually the temple for the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in each one of us. Isn't that amazing? I just think about that, and that's pretty amazing. And when you look at the Old Testament and the stories of what happened, you know, they were always praying for God to be with them. And they, you know, even when the Israelites were in the desert, they had the cloud by day and then the fire by night. And, you know, they always were praying for God to be with them. But we have Holy Spirit in us. He is in us. He's not just with us. He's in us. That is the better covenant. That is the new covenant. And after Jesus left, he said, I have to leave because when I leave, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in you. And boy, that was some kind of an amazing promise that we had. And it's not a promise. We have it. If you're a believer and you've accepted Jesus and you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Amen? Anyway, it's pretty exciting. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're still going to be talking tonight about the authority of the believer. But part of that deals with the boldness that we just talked about, what we declare over our Bible. If we truly look for our identity in the Word, that's the only place we should be looking for our identity. It's in Jesus. He is our best example of who we should be when we walk on this earth. We need to be salt and light to the lost. I just love hearing about the young people having revival on college campuses. I know it started in Asbury in Kentucky, but you know, it's all over. And I believe it's just the beginning. And I love that it's happening with the young people. And I know it's not just young people, but I think the spark started on a college campus for a reason. And I think that, you know, so many times it's easy to look at young people and think, oh my goodness, they're so lost. You know, as if we were not that way when we were young. We all, you know, until we found Jesus, all of us were lost. Amen. And so I'm so excited to see what's happening. And I just encourage you all, let's continue to pray for our country, for us to pray that we continue to be one nation under God, that we would turn our hearts in repentance as a country and bow our heads and get on our knees before God, because we want Him to continue to bless this country. There are a lot of good people, good Christian people, and people that are willing to be the salt and the light and to be prayer warriors and to be in intercession for this country. Let's not give up on it just because there's ugly headlines here and there. There's a lot of good. And you know what? I know that God is always working behind the scenes. So I'm excited to see what Holy Spirit is doing. And I believe it's just the beginning. And so part of that involves us as Christians. And you wouldn't be here right now if you weren't actively interested in learning more and have a hunger for God's word. And so I encourage you to keep pressing in. Keep pressing into what God has, because He has so much for us. And it's not just for us. I mean, yes, it is for us, but it doesn't end there. We're not to be reservoirs or like a body of water. Jesus called Himself the living water. We are to be, have living water. What is that? That's like a stream, an endless stream, right? That continues to go and flow, not just to us, but through us to others, especially the hurting people, people that are lost. And, you know, I just got to tell you, this past weekend, Daryl and I went to go see that movie that was really talking about the Jesus Revolution in the late 60s and early 70s in California. And it was a story that really talked about the beginning roots of that Jesus Revolution. It started with hippies in California, and specifically with Chuck Smith over in Calvary Chapel. And I was excited to see this because that's actually part of my story too. And I was 8 years old and my family started going to Calvary Chapel in California. It was in Costa Mesa, California, which was only 9 miles away from where I grew up in Santa Ana. And so I remember going to the children's church and singing songs about Jesus and, you know, I really enjoyed it. I loved it. And I really loved that as a family, we were going to church. And so it sowed seeds for what was to come later in my life. We didn't always go to church, but because I had that in my, you know, those seeds were planted when I was so young, it always stayed with me. And I'm so grateful that we had that. So that's part of why I really wanted to see this movie as well. But it was just real encouraging. And I want to encourage everyone, you know, whenever there is a Christian movie, let's go out and support it. Amen. Because that's, first of all, you know, we can't complain only about, oh, all this junk movies that come out. And then a Christian movie comes out and we don't support it, right? So we want to support it. Not to mention that, I don't know about you, but when we went, I noticed there was, it was almost full, and it was a Friday night, and so that really blessed me to see an almost full movie theater watching a show about Jesus. But one of the things I really liked is that when they were talking about the hippies, they were talking about a desperate generation, and one of the characters used the word desperate. And you know, we really need to be desperate for Jesus. All of us do, all the time, because it makes us hungry for more. And it makes us just look to him for everything, every answer, every, you know, just whatever we need. We need to go to the Word. We need to look to Jesus as our example of walking out what that looks like here on earth. Because he was 100% man when he walked on this earth, and he was 100% God. So he is our best example. So when we're talking about the authority of the believer, it's really about how we navigate this life and how we do it, holding on to our faith, walking our faith, talking our faith, speaking our faith, declaring our faith, and actually acting on our faith. I heard something the other day, and I heard faith is voice activated. I really like that. Faith is voice activated. If you have faith and you do not open your voice, you do not open your mouth, and you do not speak out loud with your voice, it's staying inside of you. And it's not faith. Faith is a verb. It's an action verb. And in order for it to take action, you need to, it is for, voice activated. You do need to open your mouth and speak the word. And just like we opened up this tonight's Bible study with declaring that we believe what the Bible says, we have what it says we have, we are who it says we are, and we can do what it says we can do. When we look to the word for our identity, we should be bold. And that's what gives us the authority of the believer. And Jesus intended for us to have authority. Let's read in Matthew 18, 18. That is an excellent scripture. And it's, I believe it's red. I'm not sure if it's red in your Bible. Let me look at it. This is going to be Matthew 18, verse 18. Receive this truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered to be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you release on earth will be considered to be released in heaven. And some of you may have versions that say whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose. So what is that saying? That's talking about authority. That's talking about the authority that we have as believers to bind and loose things. And we want to loose things on earth that are in heaven. What's in heaven? Perfect health, joy, peace, love, confidence, security in God. All of the things that come from the word, that's what we want to loose in our life. How do you do that? With your mouth. It's voice activated. Faith is voice activated. You speak and declare God's word over your life. If you have a situation right now, you speak the word over that. You speak the word over that situation, over that relationship, over that circumstance, whatever is going on, speak the word over it. See, here's what we do. This is about fighting the good fight of faith. I love that Pastor talked about this on Sunday, because he was reminding us that it is a fight of faith, but it is a fight of victory. And it's a good fight because it's a fight of victory. We have the victory because Jesus already purchased it for us. But what we need to do is to walk it out. See, here's the thing. God actually needs us. The Lord is hindered in his plans because he's got to work through us. We're the body of Christ. And sometimes we have failed to appreciate the meaning, the true meaning of Christ, like what he did. And the fact that we are seated with him at the right hand of the Father. We have a part to play in this. We should be cooperating with the Lord in our faith walk. You know, when we talk about what the enemy does or what the enemy, oh, he's attacking me, or maybe we just talk about a situation or circumstance. And I know that as Christians, we are to pray for one another. So it's okay when you're sharing so that you can have someone agree with you in prayer. But if you're rehearsing the problem more than you're speaking the solution, then you're magnifying the enemy. You're magnifying the enemy's plan over your life. So we should be speaking the word boldly and confessing the word over that situation. So, you know, just remember, the enemy doesn't really care what you believe as long as you're quiet about it. If you're quiet about it, he's fine. He doesn't care what you believe. It's when we open our mouth And remember how we talked about that faith is voice activated? That's why. Because we are to speak the word over our life, over our situation, over our loved ones, over people that we're praying for. And we are to boldly declare the promises of God over their life, over that situation. The enemy has absolutely no power over us unless we give him access. And how do we do that? By wrong thinking, by meditating on the wrong things or magnifying problems versus speaking solutions. Let's not give him even 1 inch of space in our lives. The enemy, again, I don't even like talking about him because I certainly don't intend to magnify anything, but I do need to remind you, brothers and sisters, we do not have to put up with him. He has no authority over us. He has no access to us unless we give it to him. All he wants you to do, basically, is just to give up on your faith. That's why he will hit us with a barrage of discouraging situations or circumstances. And if he doesn't have victory over one part of your life, he'll just come at you and attack in another part. But here's the thing. He has no victory over us. We have to stand on the word, communicate our faith. Remember, voice activated. Speak the word. We continue to walk by faith and not by sight. We speak the word of God over our situation. And God tells us in his word that if we submit ourselves to God and we resist the devil, he will flee. That is a promise. He will. He has to. It's the word. We either believe the word or we don't. And I believe that all of you listening here tonight, you believe the word, or you wouldn't be here learning more about the word. Amen. I'd like to read out of, this is a book, The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. I would like to read a chapter here. No, not a chapter, just a paragraph. And this is by Kenneth E. Hagin. You see, the devil realizes he cannot hold in bondage a believer who knows his authority in Christ Jesus. Such a believer is aware that he is seated with Christ in heavenly places and that the devil is a defeated foe under his feet. See Ephesians 1, 15 and 2 through 2, Ephesians 2, verse 6. Furthermore, this believer is convinced that no work of the enemy can prevail against him in carrying out the will of God on the earth. That is a powerful paragraph, and I just wanted to read it to you, because when we know who we are in Christ, when we know our authority in him, then we know the enemy has no hold over us, and we are bold and confident, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Amen? I want to read the section out of Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. This is one of my favorite scriptures, is verse 10, but I'm going to go all the way to verse 17. This is Ephesians. I'm going to start in verse 10, and I'm reading out of the Passion. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Let's just camp out on that one. Wow. I love this scripture. This is an amazing, powerful scripture, Ephesians 6:10. And in any translation, it's powerful. But I really like it in the Passion. Because you know that in this letter, Paul has been speaking to the church at Ephesus. And well, what is he saying? He's saying to them, now, my beloved ones, I've saved the most important for the last. This is out of all the things, and he has shared a lot of good things in the book of Ephesians. But what he's saying here is he has saved the most important thing for last. And what is the most important thing? He is talking about that we get our strength from Jesus. And he's reminding us, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Isn't that good? See, we're not going to have strength in our own. Well, I guess all of us have strength, and we all have our own abilities and strength. And, you know, that'll take us so far, right? But it's for the day-to-day life, everything else that we have. We don't want to walk anywhere without Jesus. Amen? I don't want to walk to my mailbox without Jesus. I just want to have him in every part of my life, everywhere I go, every direction I go. I want Jesus to be right there with me. Well, that is that life union. Amen? And it says here, stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. And remember, we talked about that all of this, all of the promises, all of the word that we're given, it isn't just for us. I mean, yes, it is, but it is for us to be a channel to others, to flow through us. It's, you know, we need to grab a hold of these truths, not just for our life, but to help those around us, to help the lost that are around us, to love on people the way Jesus wants us to love on them. See, we're his body on this earth, and we have a part to play, and God is hindered if we're not playing that part. And so if you're broke, busted, disgusted, stressed, and depressed, and sitting in a corner, not speaking your faith, not doing anything, then the enemy, hey, he's good. He's happy. Because regardless of what you believe, you're not speaking the word, you're not acting the word, and you've just basically dropped your faith. It's not doing anything for you. And that's not who we want. That's not who we are, and that's not who we want to be. Amen? I'm going to keep reading in verse 11. I'm still in Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Isn't that good? Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms, for they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits. That hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Isn't that good? That's so encouraging. It's so good to see what we have in Jesus. I'm in verse 14 now. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. Amen. We should always be ready to share the blessings of peace. There is so much peace in following Jesus. We don't have to be caught up in the turmoil of this world. Amen. I'm in verse 16 now. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Isn't that great? I really like that. It's so encouraging. And it tells us in that passage our authority in Jesus and how we are to stay protected and to be guarded every day. And it is a blessing. And again, the good fight of faith is a good fight because it's a fight of victory. I hope you're encouraged. I know I am. It is a great day today. I pray that you all have a great rest of the week. Tomorrow is March 1st. We turn the page of the calendar, and it's going to be a blessed week, and it's going to be a blessed day tomorrow. I pray that you all are blessed and protected and encouraged. God bless you. Love you all. Thanks again for joining me tonight. Good night, everyone.